Okay.
You should be removed.
Right, any objections if I give Chief Rader a call now? Any discussion before we call him?
Sorry, guys, please, a different one. I don't know what you have.
Is there an account?
6537. Committee meeting, and I will turn it over to Bob Rustin in a second just to, I guess, begin kind of facilitating the discussion. But I think you have probably the background that you said already about what the committee is and what it's doing, and I think we have a couple questions for you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Bob.
Thank you. This is Bob. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing fine. Maybe first, quickly go around the room just to get people to identify themselves both by name and sort of their affiliation.
Hi, I'm Jeff Federico. I'm a 21-year city employee with the police department and a member of the retirement committee.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'm Jim Strauss, and I'm chair of the retirement board for the city.
Hi.
I'm Bill Rash. I'm a 31-year employee. I'm a representative of the AFSCME public employees that work for the city.
I'm Eileen Blackwood. I'm the city attorney.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi.
So, I'm assuming that you've gotten some background about what the committee is and what it's doing, but just to mention, currently the city's formulaized levels at about 69%. We have somewhere in the range of 34 different options that people are eligible for in terms of the benefits. Our assets are at about $144 million. The last number of years, our system has seen both an increase in the city contribution to the system and at the same time a corresponding reduction in the funded level of the system. And I think everybody on the committee has sort of reached the sense that there is a problem that we need to address. We have been looking at our asset management, we've been looking at our actuarial assumptions, we're continuing to look at some of those things. Some of those we're going to have to go on to the city's retirement board, which really has sort of ordinance authority over things such as the actuarial assumptions. So sort of the next level that we're sort of trying to understand would be getting the systems to look at what other municipalities are doing to try and address both the funding levels within their systems, their contributions, while at the same time recognizing the importance of pension systems and the benefits they provide to employees.
Yeah.
So with that sort of lead-in, can you tell sort of like what experience do you have working with groups such as us in trying to address the kind of issues we're trying to address?
Well, as I think the group knows, my primary function is to perform research for a group of statewide retirement system directors and administrators who are located around the country. And in that capacity, we have spent, especially over the last 5 years, in the wake of the market decline, predominantly of 08 and 09. Among many other things we do, we have worked to monitor and compile the kind of reforms and changes to plan design that states and to a lesser extent cities have implemented to deal with underfunded pension plans or pension plans whose costs were getting out of hand. Or sometimes those reforms were brought about simply because, not necessarily because the plan was in bad condition, but that many other states were doing it and the political environment was ripe for making changes. So there have been a lot of different reasons for states and cities to make these changes. Really, I think one of the critical factors in terms of considering the kind of changes that plan wants to make and should make depend heavily on which group or groups are considered to be able to be affected. Until a few years ago, 2010 to be specific, I'm not aware of any states or cities for that matter who had made a change to their pension plan design that affected retired members, people who are already retired. And Colorado, the Colorado legislature made such a change because their actuaries told them that they had no choice but to make adjustments that affected existing plan participants, or they were in an actuarial death spiral. Their plan would, in the absence of a huge infusion of money that the state and its political subdivisions did not have, that they would go down to zero. And so they made the difficult decision in Colorado to modify automatic cost of living adjustments for existing retired members. It had been a relatively generous automatic 3.5% annually, and they lowered that for most of their participants to inflation up to 2%. And there were some other changes that were made as well. They required existing employees to increase their contributions to work, many existing employees to work longer and attain more years of service in order to qualify for retirement benefit. About the same time, in the ensuing couple of months, Minnesota and South Dakota took similar actions, namely multifaceted reforms, but that also included affecting the benefits, particularly the future cost of living adjustments of existing retired members. Each state was met with a lawsuit promptly. Literally the next business day, in fact, after each of those bills were signed. And so far, for Minnesota and South Dakota have prevailed in court, and this Colorado State Supreme Court is still considering those changes, but in general, Colorado's authority to make that change has been affirmed by the courts.
So, Steve, can I just break in for a second?
Sure.
You know, I think we believe our committee is kind of unique in that, you know, we have representatives from each of the four bargaining units, representatives from the county council, representatives from the administration, and we're not bargaining in these meetings. But I believe we have a sense of collaboration and trying to understand our problems and working together and trying to figure out how do we make appropriate changes to the system that hopefully in the end everybody is okay with. So do you have experience actually working with a group such as ours?
Well, no, not really. This is a, as I understand it, the role that y'all are seeking me potentially to fill is not something I have done much of. My primary function is providing research, compiling information that's in public places around the country, communicating these issues and so on. So I come with knowledge about what has happened, about what works. I think I've got pretty sound knowledge of actuarial principles, funding principles, and so on. But I won't tell you that I have experience working directly with a group like this. I've spent my career working for appointed and elected officials. I was with legislatures for 5 years, with a public retirement, statewide public retirement system for 7 years, in the current role working for appointed board members for a dozen years. So no, I don't have experience directly working for a group like this in the capacity that you're asking me to would be asking me to perform.
Well, one thing to clarify is that whoever we hire as a consultant wouldn't be seen as the person who's going to really facilitate the group. I have fortunately been given that great honor. But we are looking for somebody who really would be able to work with a variety of folks. So would you consider yourself, or would people who have worked with you consider you to be seen as being more pro-management or more pro-union? How would you respond to that?
I'm not pro any of those things. My organization, NASRA, is pointedly objective. We're a just-the-facts kind of organization. With the exception of the organization's resolutions, of which there are, I guess, maybe 10 or 12 that express a particular perspective of the organization. And in this realm, probably the most relevant, certainly the most relevant resolution would be NASRA's principles for retirement plan design, of which there are five, namely mandatory participation, cost sharing by employees and employers, assets that are pooled and professionally invested, a benefit that is adequate for employees upon retirement, and a benefit that is required to be annuitized once the employee qualifies for retirement benefit. So those are sort of that's our foundation. Traditionally, the organization has supported defined benefit plans. We still do. But those principles allow leeway for something like a hybrid plan in lieu of a traditional defined benefit plan, or perhaps as part of a defined benefit plan. So I would not consider myself personally, and I suspect if you spoke with any of my board members or anybody else who has worked with me, that they would not be able to know whether I'm pro-management, pro-labor, pro-anything else other than I'm pro-retirement security.
Great. Comments or questions from other people?
Do you know off the top of your head, Vermont, the state of Vermont has a number of NASRA?
Yes. The Director of Retirement Operations in the State Treasurer's Office is a member of NASRA.
Other questions?
I guess my sense is one of the things that we're looking for from the person we hire is to really help us explore alternatives and make sure that we're thinking about all the things that we need to be thinking about in looking at our pension plan and and how we would solve the problems. Is that something that you have experience with, really doing an analysis at that level?
Yes. I guess from my seat, I've seen the gamut of retirement system plan designs and proposals in many or all states and many systems. I've seen what works well, what works not so well under different environments and circumstances. And in particular, going back to sort of the point that I was trying to make at the opening, and I know I was a little bit long-winded about it, but I was making this long-winded point about that at some point a decision will need to be made about which groups potentially can be affected by a change in the retirement plan design. And
Colorado is an interesting example for the reason that I cited a moment ago, but as well, what Colorado did before they made those changes was that the Colorado state retirement system went on a listening tour, and a couple of the board members and some of the staff basically took their show on the road and visited about a dozen cities around the states and just had open forums. They'd open it up to members and active and retired and members of the media, members of the public, and so on. And they had a 20-minute presentation and said, okay, this is the state of our plan and its finances, and these are our choices as the actuary has described them. And then they let the audience weigh in. And they heard and considered the wide range of changes in plan design, everything from closing down the whole thing to making virtually no changes and increasing taxes solely and everything in between. And I thought that was helpful from the standpoint that they made it a point to get the input of all of the stakeholder groups. The plan participants who have active and retired, the employers, who are certainly an important part of the equation, and also the taxpayers, and also those who rely on public services.
And in some ways, that's what we're trying to do with our committee, in that we think we have a reasonably broad representation of different stakeholders and the ability to reach out to other folks. Do you have any experience looking at the pension obligation or general obligation bonds as a means of trying to close the gap of the funding liability?
Well, I'm familiar with pension obligation bonds and other forms of debt that have been used to pay down unfunded liabilities. I'm aware of research that's been conducted on it. I've compiled the research. I could tell you the pros and cons and other facets of issuing pension obligation bonds and other life financing actions.
Do you have knowledge or expertise in different actuarial funding mechanisms for pension plans and how the pros and cons to each one or looking at the overall plan to know that, depending on how that particular plan works, what funding mechanisms might be appropriate?
Are you referring to, for example, the different cost methods, entry age, projected unit credit, length of amortization periods, that sort of thing?
That's exactly what I was referring to, yes.
Yes, I've worked with those issues for, I've been analyzing actuarial valuations and actuarial issues for, I guess, more than 20 years now.
I'm trying to keep people to talk.
I was looking at the public fund survey that, can you tell us what your involvement in that, what was your role in that?
Well, my role in that was everything. I envisioned it, designed it. The only thing that I didn't do was have the database expertise to actually build it, and I worked with a database expert to help design it. Before there was the public fund survey, back in the mid-90s, I created a website that was called the State and Local Pension Exchange, and it was similar to the public fund survey. Basically, an online compendium with a backup database of information about public retirement systems, public pension plans, public pension funds. And after I finished that, went on to another thing for a couple of years, and was asked back to NASRA by someone who was familiar with the State and Local Pension Exchange, and they basically asked if I would recreate that at NASRA. And so that was one of my primary responsibilities when I began at NASRA in 2002. And so the public fund survey is my creation.
What do you think
of it?
It's pretty impressive. That's what I think.
Well, you're nice. If I could just elaborate on it briefly. We in ASRA are in the process of working with the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. A number of years ago, the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, CRR if I may, approached us, and basically they bought the public fund survey. We did not realize at the time that what they were going to do with it, because we had provided the public fund survey database to a number of academic organizations who wanted to conduct research, and we thought they were in the same realm. As it turned out, we learned a year or two later that what the Center for Retirement Research actually was doing was using the public fund survey to create their own online database. And so they have now what's called the public plans database that they put online. But basically that started with the public fund survey. And NASRA has recently entered into an agreement with the State and Local Government Excellence, which is closely collaborating with CRR. And basically we're just going to meld our resources, and so we'll be sort of joining the public fund survey with the public plans database at the Center for Retirement Research. We figure there's no use two of us maintaining two substantially similar sets of data, and then we'll be embellishing that data set with, among other things, some information on governance. We'll be conducting a governance survey here shortly. We're just about complete designing the survey.
So one of our meetings, we talked about trying to set some goals to address a number of different areas, one of which was the unfunded liability. What did we want the outcome of this committee's work to be related to that? We started to talk about what was the goal as related to the city's contribution. And quickly into the conversation, I think it's fair to say that we had a sense that we don't feel like we felt as if we didn't have enough information to know what was a reasonable goal to set. So we sort of stopped in looking at goal setting. Do you have any comments on that in terms of a process to set goals related to what we want the outcome of this work to be? Do you think that makes sense?
Absolutely. Again, getting back to the basis for providing a retirement plan in the first place, and what is that? That is to meet the objectives of the various stakeholders. And when you begin that process, very quickly it becomes obvious that you have to have goals or objectives, whichever one wants to call them, for each of those. And setting a goal for different key parameters, including an unfunded liability or amortizing an unfunded liability, is relevant. I think that that's an important and early critical part of the process to set goals like that. For the range of issues that that are in the environment there.
Do you have a sense from your conversations with Brian as to what he would specifically want you to do if he were to hire you as our consultant?
No, I must admit I'm not perfectly clear on it when we first, and that's not to fault Brian at all, because he's been great in our conversations.
I didn't have to fault Brian, but actually it's understandable. I think we're not completely clear. Plenty of things we're talking about our next meeting. I think we're somewhat clear perhaps of what we don't want the consultants to be doing. But in some ways, whoever we may choose might help us to figure out the appropriate scope of work.
Well, defining the scope is vital. It's just vital. Otherwise, you're going to meander and you'll get scope creep and other unpleasant side effects. When Brian and I, the conversations I had earlier with Brian, my sense was that y'all were seeking someone who might perhaps provide a report or other objective information about what the committee's options are with respect to potential changes in plan design and financing. During this conversation, I'm sensing that you're looking more for sort of an active facilitator. Which I consider myself to be as knowledgeable as just about anybody on these issues, and I don't mean to sound immodest, but that's just the way that it is. And I'll quickly add, lest I sound immodest, I'm not necessarily bucking for this work. I have a good job that I enjoy, but I agreed to continue speaking with you all because I think it's very interesting, and I'm also sort of a people pleaser, and so I hate to say no. And so the combination of asking me to help on a retirement project like this is very interesting to me, plus I don't like to say no. But during this conversation, I'm sensing that y'all are seeking someone to sort of facilitate a group. And I can't say that I've done a lot of group facilitation. However, I would also say that considering that I consider myself awfully knowledgeable on these subject areas and also pretty objective on these matters, I would consider myself capable of facilitating a group on this kind of material.
So, first of all, let me tell you that you answered my next question was going to be, which is why you want to work with us. But, so going back to your point, I don't think the group is so much looking for a facilitator, although I may be looking for one. I think it's more so wanting somebody who won't just answer the questions that we ask, but who, as we're asking questions, would be able to say, have you thought about this? Or here's another way of looking at it. Aside from sort of, I think, we have an actuary, the city has been using for years, and we're continuing to use this. We're looking at some of our ideas. But he is not somebody who looks at plan design. So I think, again, we're looking for somebody who would mostly be able to help us with understanding what our options might be and be able to sort of talk to all the different folks who will be at the table as to what are the pros and cons of those different options and then potentially help us sort of model what would be the impact of those.
Again, I'm not bucking for this work, although, if we can sort of find common agreements there, I would be happy to do it. I can't say that I've done a lot of modeling, per se, but again, I think that I have a sufficient knowledge of these issues to be able to, point out that the answer to the question is a lot broader than what someone might first realize that they're asking, and explain the different options and other issues that are at work related to the question.
Again, we'll see if there's any other questions from anybody here. So you used at least one you all. So I'm assuming you're from down south.
Yeah, I live outside Austin, Texas.
So, any
you'd be saying it all if you were really from there.
So, that's right. So, have you thought about how you structurally would work with us if you're down in Texas and we're up in Vermont?
Well, I guess only a little bit, and my capacity to travel is not great. I suspect that I could get up there once or twice, but I couldn't get up there too much. In addition to my job, I also have a family, and as y'all may be aware, I also serve as a member of the city council in my town, and so I have a bit of travel in my own day job as well. And so I would not be able to engage in lengthy travel. I suppose that phone meetings such as this, if we were to agree on something, potentially could work.
And my sense is that's probably, at least speaking for me, that's probably right that we could meet with you on the phone and then have you do some work in between meetings and have you come back on the phone. It may not require you to come up frequently to meet with the group. I know you spoke to Brian about the fee schedule. Can you share with the group, sort of what you're thinking about in terms of fees or what you talked to Brian about?
Brian mentioned that I should be prepared to talk about it. And I honestly, I don't have a whole lot to go on. What I told Brian was that I would be happy to work something out that was mutually agreeable with y'all. I still don't have a clear sense for what the workload might be. But I'm, as I told Brian, I'm not in it for the money either. I think that it would be an interesting, and I don't want to suggest that I'm not interested in this. I might be implying that I'm not. And I'm interested in part for the reasons I gave earlier, and also because it's, it seems like a really interesting assignment. But I'd be happy to, you know, work on a, come up with a single round figure or an hourly rate or an estimated rate, something like that, whatever is amenable to y'all.
So maybe it would be helpful if before Tuesday, since we haven't really defined the scope of work, maybe to think about and let us know for Tuesday what might be sort of an hourly charge that you would do. And, you know, if there's a bulk number of hours, how you might work that. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah.
And if you could let Brian know that before Tuesday. And again, then part of, I think, our responsibility is to, we'll be sharing with the whole group this discussion. And we have talked to some other people as well. And we really then, I think these discussions may help us to figure out exactly what we think would be the most beneficial assistance we could get, and then we can get back in touch with you.
That sounds fine. Perhaps I'll endeavor to draft a scope of work from my end, and that is based on the conversation that I'm having with y'all, combined with those that I've had with Brian, try to describe in a brief narrative form what scope this job might entail, and assign either an hourly rate or a or an estimated total rate to complete that scope.
That's great. We sort of a ballpark figure.
Yeah.
Any other questions from anybody? I'm not seeing any, so I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us about this.
Really? Well, I'm honored to have your attention, and I appreciate the work that y'all are about, and whether or not we strike a deal here, I wish you a lot of luck with your project.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Good first of all.